It is time to start looking ahead to the fall ballot. As the Baton Rouge Area Chamber has their statewide agenda and election platform out there, joining us now to talk about it is David Zoeller. David, welcome back, man. How are you?
Good, Brian. How you doing?
Doing very well. All right, let's dive in on this as there is a lot of ground to cover. Run me through some of the bullet points for which y'all are looking at.
All right, I'll take the we're looking to really look to improve the economic development outlook of the state, improve our infrastructure climate, help propel students to high-wage jobs, as always, improve our tax climate, enhancing the safety, public safety efforts of the state, which is always important. Our insurance is a disaster. That needs to be worked on. And then working on some beautification and maintenance issues around the state to make sure we're living in a community, in a state that is attractive to bring people in and people want to stay in.
Okay, let's pause there to talk about what the difference between this is heading into the ballot, heading into the polls, versus how y'all would look at basically the same things during the legislative session. What's different for here?
Not much, honestly. Yeah. This is just laying out what we're looking for the legislature and the governor and our statewide officials over the next 4 years. Our legislative agendas for the next 4 years will come from these priorities.
We're talking with David Zoeller from the Baton Rouge Area Chamber about their statewide agenda and election platform. Okay, does the chamber go so far as to match your agenda with candidates? I don't want to say full-on endorsement, or if you do, let's go that route. But how to pair, which candidates pair best with the existing agenda?
No, the chamber does not. There is a political action committee future pack that does take the time and asks all the candidates to answer questions based on this agenda to see where they line up and which candidates will most align with these objectives.
David, got to ask you, let's break these down one by one. Turbocharging Louisiana's economic development efforts. There's a lot that goes into that. It's walk me through y'all's process.
Yeah. So what we're looking at is how do you improve the Louisiana Department of Economic Development and make it competitive and make it even better than it is in attracting companies to Louisiana, so that when our business development team goes out and is trying to attract companies to come to Baton Rouge, to come to Louisiana, they have the tools and the toolkit to do it. You're seeing other states develop massive site funds where they develop a site for companies or that are pre-made, graded, electrical, storage, all there, so that they can just come in. You're seeing Mississippi put $58 million into it. Other states have put close to $100 million into it. You know, we're seeing, I think the biggest increase we got recently was $8 million. Okay. We're behind, and that's going to give companies where you can say, hey, we have this place. You can come. You can locate. You can build right now. Ground's ready. You don't have to do any clearing. You don't have to worry about utilities. It's ready for you. We want you here at this place.
And if I'm not mistaken, the chamber wants to boost that $8 million up to $100
million? Yeah. Go big.
That's a little bit.
If you don't ask for it, you can't get it.
100%. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right?
Exactly.
We're talking with David Zoeller from the Baton Rouge Area Chamber. With some bold goals for economic development in the state. LED has done a number of things in the past really well and have tapered off of them. One of them, and if I'm not mistaken, it's from during the Jindal administration, was the LED Fast Start.
They still do it really well.
But it's not at the forefront like it used to be.
Exactly.
Would there be a push to move that back out front and talk about just exactly? It's kind of blatant. Like, this is how much we're going to take care of companies that would look at relocating here. This is how step by step we're going to make it for any company that comes here. What, it doesn't feel like it would take a whole lot to push that back to the front.
No, it wouldn't. We think it's a perfect opportunity to do that, to show the businesses that are already here and trying to grow and start in Louisiana, as well as those coming in, that we have the assistance, and it's known that we have the assistance for them to grow, and the state will provide the assistance where needed and make it easy for them to do business. You know, one-stop shop, figure out ways to make it easier on a company to interact with the government, the agencies that they need to get started and grow.
We're talking with David Zoeller. This is one where if you look right next door at Texas, the way we handle business and recruiting new business versus the way they do is ridiculously disparate. Like Texas holds your hand the whole way through. They'll kick it down to a local chamber of commerce and say that local chamber will say, how can I help? Rather than here in Louisiana, you got to jump through a number of hoops right from jump. You got to pay a corporate franchise tax right from jump. And then you make it all the way down to where like yourselves over BRAC can get involved.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, trying to make that process as easy as possible and eliminate some of those efforts that are more challenging for businesses, and figuring out what can be done to make agencies work better at a state level to service companies.
The second item on the Baton Rouge Area Chamber's statewide agenda and election platform is accelerate transportation infrastructure solutions. David, I beg your pardon if I'm a little bit pessimistic here, but is there a way to make campaign promises actually translate? I feel like this is one where everybody's going to be on board with pouring as much concrete, building as many bridges as possible on election day, and then when it comes time to swearing in, maybe not so much.
Well, that's up to the voters to hold the elected officials accountable and make sure that they do what they say they're going to do. When they get elected, they're going to say, we're going to build it, and then making sure that through the 4 years they're in office that they actually do it. So it's up to voters, it's up to all of us to make sure that we hold our elected officials accountable for the promises they make.
Now, when it comes to that infrastructure, pretty straightforward what y'all are looking for, the same things we've been looking for the last few administrations.
Exactly. Nothing new under the sun. I think one thing to just, you know, note is, you know, we've seen money and we've seen efforts made recently to get more funding into the Transportation Trust Fund. That's going to be a continuing push. It's trying to figure out, as cars become more fuel efficient, as hybrids and electric vehicles become more prominent, is how are you maintaining the level of funding that we have without it decreasing in value? Because cars are going to be using less gas, and there's going to be other cars that are not using any gas at all. So finding new ways to do that, such as what we did a few years ago with the vehicle sales tax, part of the vehicle sales tax going into the Transportation Trust Fund, those efforts need to continue to make sure that we have the money to maintain and build new roads and bridges.
We're talking with David Zoller from the Baton Rouge Area Chamber about their upcoming statewide agenda and election platform. All right, David, let's stick with the transportation, because there's two different items that are numbers one and two, although there really is numbers one and 1A. Number one would be completing all three phases of the I-10 widening project in East Baton Rouge, East and West Baton Rouge parishes. And number 1A there would be fully fund the new Mississippi River Bridge Fund construction of the connecting corridors from Highway 1 on the west side and Highway 30 on the east side. With the new bridge item, we've kind of hit a lull right there. Right? We're kind of in a waiting period to narrow down from three potential sites down to one.
Waiting on federal approval.
Yeah, and
it takes 2 years.
Lulls like that frighten me, because traditionally
they frighten me too.
Yeah, traditionally we've seen it's a chance for us to chase something shiny and new, pull funding from that, move it over to funding for something else, or find that talk ourselves into the idea that the whole thing was a luxury and not a necessity.
Sooner than later, I think we'll have an answer on that. We're fairly far into the process now, and the sites are there. The federal government's doing their studies. I think we're over halfway through that process easily. So it's a matter of just continuing getting funding. And more importantly on that is getting the funding for LA 1 and LA 30 to make sure that those corridors can accept an increased flow of traffic.
Okay. So, and this is an important point, David, because LA 1 and LA 30, they need the expansion with or without the bridge.
Yeah.
Especially on the east side here. Well, I shouldn't say especially. Highway 1, there's very few times of day where it's not, you know, bustling. And then Highway 30, needing that expansion all the way out to 10. Like, from LSU all the way to 10, it needs to be four-laned in both directions. It needs to be ready to take on that capacity, whether or not that capacity ever gets there.
Correct. 100%.
Moving on from the infrastructure needs to the workforce development needs, let's talk about it. What are the plans from the chamber when it comes to our K-12 education and kind of hyphenate that with future workforce?
Yeah, we've seen, we've been pushing for this for a while. You saw last session, we did some legislation with work-based learning, trying to get more students into the workforce and into apprenticeships, internships, to give them real-world experience, expose them to job opportunities that they might not otherwise be aware of. So we need to see more of that, but also we need to go back even further than high school and look at early childhood education. We've seen so many studies time after time after time showing how important the early years of growth are in the ability to read, the ability to do math, the ability to, and how that impacts future growth, future earnings potential, even as far as third grade. So early, getting our literacy rates up at third grade is crucial. And even beyond that, getting preschool, getting funding for early childhood, such as pre-K and kindergarten, will be crucial.
Well, and David, we saw this when COVID dollars started rolling in and we started getting federal funding, that we could just start flinging money at problems, right? Flinging money at priorities as well. And early childhood was one that got a whole lot of money until it didn't. I don't feel like this has been a question asked of candidates very much in this election cycle.
We haven't seen that. There's groups that are asking it, but it hasn't been a high-profile issue. We would love to see candidates really lay out their vision for what they see as early childhood. What are the early childhood education needs of the state and how they'll accomplish it?
I'd like to see candidates lay out their vision for anything in detail. This has been, hey, look, you're coming on in the middle of the show this morning. I spent a good chunk of the first hour talking about how much I hate the debate process right now. The way that candidates are asked to express their views in short sound bites with shorter soundbite rebuttals. I don't think it serves us. And you're never going to get to the meat and potatoes like early childhood education with the way we handle that. All right, tax climate. This is one where you will hear some talk on a statewide level. Actually, in every race, the tax climate is going to be of import. In our last 2 minutes here, let's stick with the tax climate. What are we looking for from the chamber's perspective?
Nothing new under the sun. Centralized sales tax collection, elimination of the franchise tax, making sure that the triggers we put in for reducing the personal and corporate income tax rates are met with revenue growth in the state. And then also giving local government more control over property taxes, and which would allow the state to reduce the overall tax burden at a state level, more toward a Texas-type model where locals have that deeper control so they can raise funds and not having to come to the state looking for those funds to fund their infrastructure project.
You say nothing new under the sun, but that local control over property taxes has the potential to be something very new, because that is the first domino that would have to fall in order to move us towards a reduction, if not elimination, of the state income tax.
Yes.
So how can we get that done? Is it as simple as lowering the homestead exemption? Because if you're talking about raising taxes without an offset, it's just going to run into problems.
The homestead exemption, the 800-pound gorilla in the room, is how do we want to address that? What do we want to do with that? We are currently allowed at the state. There is a state property tax that is allowed to be levied. It's currently not levied. And simply eliminating the homestead exemption would not cover income tax one-to-one. So you'd have to find other mechanisms to do it. But exactly what you're saying, those are conversations that we want to see candidates have. We want to see candidates discuss how they're going to do it, and we want to know what they're looking at to do it. These are crucial steps we need to make to make us competitive with other states. We're one of the only states in the country that has a franchise tax, and we're one of three states that doesn't have centralized collection, and by far we're one of the worst.
And when it comes to where we're at positioned in the South, we're lagging behind Texas, Florida, Tennessee, even Mississippi. He's David Zoller. That's where we're going to have to call it for now. We'll pick it up soon. Good talking to you, David.
Always good talking to you, Brian. Take care.